Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Anti-Oedipus Capitalism and Schizophrenia is a major work of philosophy and critical theory by Gilles Deleuze and Félix Guattari, first published in 1972 and widely read in English through later translations and editions, including Penguin Classics. It is the opening volume of their larger Capitalism and Schizophrenia project, written as a direct challenge to the dominance of Freudian psychoanalysis and to narrow ways of thinking about desire, subjectivity, and social order. Rather than treating desire as a lack or as something properly explained through the family romance, the book argues that desire is productive, active, and inseparable from social and economic processes. Its purpose is both diagnostic and political. It examines how capitalism organizes, fragments, and redirects desire, while also proposing schizoanalysis as an alternative framework for understanding individuals and societies. The result is a dense, highly original text that combines philosophy, psychoanalysis, politics, and cultural critique. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, desire as productive force rather than lack. One of the book's most important moves is its rejection of the idea that desire is defined by absence. In classical psychoanalytic models, desire is often understood as something missing, something that must be interpreted through repression, fantasy, or family relations. Deleuze and Guattari oppose that view by presenting desire as desiring production, a real productive process that creates connections, flows, and arrangements. This shift matters because it changes the status of the unconscious. It is no longer a theater of hidden meanings, but a field of operations that actively makes social and psychic life. The authors use the language of machines not to mechanize human beings, but to stress that desire works by assembling and breaking apart connections. That framework allows them to link personal life to larger systems without reducing one to the other. Desire is not merely internal feeling. It is also part of how institutions, habits, and collective arrangements function. Secondly, a direct critique of Oedipus and family-centered psychoanalysis. The book is famous for its attack on the Oedipus complex as the organizing principle of psychoanalysis. Deleuze and Guattari argue that Freud and his successors too often reduce desire to family structures, especially relations among child, mother, and father. In their view, this move shrinks the field of analysis and makes social and political problems appear as private dramas. Anti-Oedipus insists that the unconscious is not fundamentally shaped by the family in isolation, because desire is already plugged into social production, labor, institutions, and history. The critique is not simply anti-Freudian polemic. It is a broader claim that psychoanalysis can become conservative when it interprets every conflict through inherited familial patterns. By challenging Oedipal interpretation, the book seeks to free analysis from a closed model of the subject. Its point is that people are not best understood as individuals trapped inside domestic structures, but as participants in wider material and symbolic networks. Thirdly, capitalism as a decoding system that fragments social life, a central political claim in the book, is that capitalism does not merely organize production and exchange. It also transforms the circulation of desire itself. Deleuze and Guattari describe capitalism as a decoding and deterritorializing force that breaks traditional social codes and loosens older forms of belonging. This can create extraordinary flexibility and innovation, but it also produces instability, alienation, and fragmentation. The authors are not offering a simple moral condemnation of capitalism. Rather, they show how it both liberates and captures flows. It releases desire from fixed social arrangements, then reinscribes it through markets, bureaucracy, and normalized identities. That paradox is essential to the book. Capitalism is powerful precisely because it continually disrupts its own limits while keeping people tied to its logic. The connection to schizophrenia is metaphorical and structural, not clinical in a medical sense. The term points to a system that breaks connections and accelerates fragmentation while still depending on the energies it unsettles. Fourthly, schizoanalysis, desiring machines, and the body without organs. Anti-Oedipus proposes schizoanalysis as an alternative to psychoanalysis. Schizoanalysis tries to map how desire actually moves through bodies, institutions, texts, and social systems instead of interpreting everything through symbolic family narratives. This method is supported by a cluster of concepts that are central to the book, including desiring machines and the body without organs. Desiring machines describe the way desire operates through linkage and discontinuity, never as a sealed inner essence, but as a series of productive couplings. The body without organs names a limit or surface on which organization can be resisted, suspended, or reconfigured. These ideas are deliberately unusual because the authors want to break habits of interpretation that assume stable identity, fixed hierarchy, and centered subjectivity. Schizoanalysis therefore becomes a way to study how arrangements are made, how they hold together, and how they fail. Its practical value lies in showing that psychic life cannot be separated from political and material organization. Lastly, anti-hierarchical thought and the challenge to fixed identities. The book also matters because of its broader philosophical style and political implications. It rejects tree-like models of order, where meaning flows from a single origin downward through a hierarchy, and instead favors multiplicity, connection, and reconfiguration. This anti-hierarchical tendency later becomes associated with the rhizome. But even in Anti-Oedipus, the basic move is already present. Analysis should follow relations rather than essences. That makes the book relevant not only to psychoanalysis, but also to political theory, literary criticism, and cultural studies. Its approach challenges identity categories that appear natural or permanent, suggesting that subjects are produced through changing arrangements rather than fixed inner truths. At the same time, the book is demanding because it refuses to simplify its own method. It mixes philosophical argument, polemic, and conceptual invention in a way that can be difficult to follow, but that difficulty is part of its strategy. The book asks readers to think against habitual structures of interpretation and to treat social life as dynamic, distributed, and unfinished. In conclusion, Anti-Oedipus Capitalism and Schizophrenia is best suited for readers interested in philosophy, psychoanalysis, political theory, literary studies, and cultural criticism, especially those willing to engage a demanding but influential text. It will reward readers who want to understand why desire, subjectivity, and social organization cannot be treated as separate domains. The book is especially useful for people studying Freud, Marx, post-structuralism, or the intellectual history of 20th century radical thought, because it reworks those traditions rather than merely commenting on them. Its main benefit is conceptual. It offers a new vocabulary for thinking about how power, capitalism, and unconscious life interact. What makes it stand out from similar works is its unusual combination of theoretical ambition and anti-systematic style. Instead of presenting a neat doctrine, it builds a method of interruption, recombination, and critique. That makes the book difficult, but also unusually fertile for readers who want ideas that open questions rather than close them. It remains distinctive because it does not simply criticize psychoanalysis or capitalism. It reimagines what analysis itself should do. If you would like to support Gilles Deleuze, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.